This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
Podcast of Audio Reading Service volunteers reading the Journal Gazette is provided by the Allen County Public Library for the sight and print impaired and made available with the permission and cooperation of the Journal Gazette.
We're back from our break. We're reading the Living section from the Wednesday, May 8 Journal Gazette. And now here's Chad with the horoscopes.
Horoscopes by Holiday Mathis of Creators Syndicate. Aries, March 21st to April 19th. You bring a certain X factor to your work. It's too soon to name it, and it can't be easily described, but everyone seems to be able to identify it. Just ask around. What you learn will speak to how your work is distinguishable from others. Taurus, April 20th to May 20th. It's dangerous to assume that you've arrived at a correct conclusion. It's better to stay aware and assume that no answer is 100% correct. The bumps and blocks are obstacles that bring people together. Gemini, May 21st to June 21st. Those who pretend to be something they're not are only stopping themselves from becoming who they were meant to be. Your talent for truth shines now. Your honesty encourages others to be honest, too. Cancer, June 22nd to July 22nd. You know who you like and trust. As for the one who does nothing to help you, is that person really an ally? Put relationships to the test. Who feels compelled to lift you? Who wants to be as useful to you as you are to them? Leo, July 23rd to August 22nd. You'll get a surge of creative fuel midday that you can use to drum up some fun with another creative person. Let playfulness rule, and there will be practical applications for what you come up with, too. Virgo, August 23rd to September 22nd. Your intuitive prowess reaches new heights. Trust your instincts. They will guide you to perceive the underlying truth of matters, benefiting not only yourself, but also those around you. Libra, September 23rd to October 23rd. It is good that you are so wary of anyone trying too hard to sell you. When their idea or product is something you want and will use, you don't need to be sold on it. Seek the natural fit, the easy match, the soft sell. Scorpio, October 24th to November 21st. It's fun to edit yourself because even you can admire the strength in what you did right and want to keep. You'll cut the superfluous, amplify the essentials, and highlight the fun parts. All this polish is only possible because you had the courage to put it all out there. Sagittarius, November 22nd to December 21st. The more you create, do, and present, the more there is to criticize. But you'd rather learn from your mistakes than never know how good you can get. You'll bravely lob your ideas to the world to see what comes back. Capricorn, December 22nd to January 19th. You'll have an excellent time with a role, especially when you dress the part. You'll have even more fun when you also consider the atmosphere. Create the set, change the lighting, add a soundtrack. The details make it beautiful. Aquarius, January 20th to February 18th. You'll be asked to take on a responsibility. There's a light and a heavy version of this. Try on the former and consider the latter after you get an appreciation and understanding of the full range of options. Pisces, February 19th to March 20th. You'll be paid to do a job, but the dollar amount means very little to you when compared to the difference you make in the lives of others. Once you discover your purpose for action, it is its own reward. Today's birthday. You'll take on the golden vision, and intense powers of focus will rocket your project. The team that gathers around you will bring fun to work. Strategic adventures and relationships will create ease for you. More highlights? An exhilarating project, a liberation from the old scene, and self-development strides that give you new confidence and purpose. Capricorn and Gemini adore you. Your lucky numbers are 1, 8, 14, 45, and 11.
to your good health. Long COVID, a variety of symptoms, root cause unclear. Dear Dr. Roach, I read last year that nearly 20 million Americans were living with long COVID, but I understand that the number is much higher now. Can you explain exactly what long COVID is and how it is treated? Signed, JSB. Answer. Persistent symptoms after an infection are not unique to COVID. Many people will have cough or asthma exacerbations for weeks or even months after a bad flu infection. Likewise, many people have symptoms relating to many different body systems after recovering from COVID. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and World Health Organization differ on the amount of time after an infection that has to pass for it to be considered long COVID, 4 weeks and 3 months, respectively. The most common physical symptoms are fatigue, shortness of breath, and muscle aches. In one study of people who survived the initial wave of COVID, 45% had at least one persistent physical symptom. The most common and persistent neurological, psychological symptoms are anxiety, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, and cognition problems, brain fog. Up to 25% of COVID survivors had one of these symptoms after their physical recovery. That was higher than the other respiratory viruses such as influenza. For those who required a stay in the hospital in the intensive care unit, over 75% had physical, psychological, or cognitive symptoms after their discharge. These survivors are at highest risk for prolonged and severe long COVID symptoms. There are many hypotheses for the underlying cause of long COVID symptoms, and although there is some evidence, it's not clear whether there is one single cause or whether multiple mechanisms are possible. Essentially, we treat each patient's concerns the same way we would if the person hadn't had COVID. Emphasis on sleep, nutrition, and exercise are critical, but we should still recognize that many people with long COVID have symptoms that are very similar to myalgic encephalomyelitis, chronic fatigue syndrome. As such, exercise should not be overdone since this can worsen post-exertional symptoms. Dr. Keith Roach is a King Features advice columnist whose work appears Monday through Thursday and on Saturday. Write to Dr. Roach, 628 Virginia Drive, Orlando, Florida, 32803, or email toyourgoodhealth@med.cornell.edu.
Be realistic on distant sibling. This is the Ask Amy column. Dear Amy, after our teen years, my brother and I became close. After my mother abruptly left town to be with another man, my brother and I were left to clean up the mess, literally and figuratively. We worked well together. A year or two later, he and his family moved far away. I did my best to keep in touch, but with schedule differences, it became hard. When we do talk, he keeps any conversation to about 5 minutes. I noticed that I'm usually the one reaching out. I asked him about this, and he said he would try harder and that he missed our closeness. But he doesn't try harder. I have asked him if he doesn't want a relationship, and he always says he does, but that he is just busy. However, I see him and his wife interacting with our mutual friends on social media. They quit interacting with me on my social media posts a few years ago. I do not like how these relationships feel one-sided. I especially feel hurt when my mutual friends say that they've talked with them recently. After multiple attempts to get them to show up more in our relationships, I am feeling like I just need to walk away from any attempts to interact with them, since it feels like there is something that they are not being honest about. They don't even know of the declining health of our parents because they don't reach out to them, either. What should I do? Signed, Sad Sibling. Dear Sad, you have called out your brother and his wife, and you've presented their lack of interest as a binary. They are either in or they're out. I think you should stop asking for or expecting anything more than you're getting from them, an occasional 5 minutes here or there. Your brother does not want to be in touch more often. If he did want more, he would ask to initiate or ask for more, the way you do. He is not in contact with your parents, and connecting with you reminds him of this choice, which he likely feels guilty about. You are thinking about walking away from the relationship, but I suggest that you only walk away from your expectations. You want to be closer. He doesn't. This is a painful situation that you will have to work hard to accept. If you do less, he might do more, but there is no guarantee. If you want to talk to your brother, reach out. Be honest about your own vulnerability. Quote, I wish we were closer because I enjoy you and I miss you. End quote. That's it. Ask Amy is a Tribune Media Services column by Amy Dickinson, appearing Monday through Thursday and on Saturday. Write to Ask Amy, P.O. Box 194, Freeville, New York, 13068, or email askamy@amydickinson.com.
Heloise, ditch old condiment packets. Dear Heloise, over time, my family and I have collected a number of packets containing ketchup, mustard, mayo, and other sauces. They're all in the refrigerator, but some are about 1 or 2 years old. Some don't have any dates on them at all. I don't know if these are still good enough to use or if we should throw them out. What are your thoughts on this matter? Signed, Elizabeth A., San Jose, California. Elizabeth, when in doubt, throw it out. Maybe it's time to reevaluate all those condiments and sauces. Some might be in excellent shape, but why take that chance? If you took them with you on a picnic, let's say, did you have them out in the sun for a certain length of time? Mayonnaise can be very dangerous if it isn't kept refrigerated, as well as some salad dressings. Did you take the unused packets back home? How long were they exposed to heat? And if you don't know how old the packet is, how can you be certain that it's safe to use in the first place? Just some food for thought. Signed, Heloise. Dear Heloise, just a warning to your readers. If you have a throw rug, use carpet tape to tape down the corners of the rug. I kept meaning to get some to secure the corners of a throw rug in the kitchen. Last night while I was carrying some plates to the sink, I tripped over one corner and fell. I broke several plates, but I twisted my ankle. And it really hurts. I've learned my lesson not to take safety for granted. Throw rugs can be dangerous on a slippery floor. Signed, Karen B., Dime Box, Texas. Dear Heloise, since my salt intake needs to be kept as low as possible, I rinse beans in the can to remove the salt before I add them to any recipe. It makes a difference. Signed, Walter M., Bozeman, Montana. Dear Heloise, I started saving those plastic card holders that come with flower arrangements. After the flowers die, I wash and save them, and I place them in dishes I bring to potluck dinners. I use an index card and write down what the dish is along with any ingredient that might affect someone's allergies. For example, I made a Thai dish and I noted that it required peanuts, which could have affected people with nut allergies. I also place them in front of my garden rose to remind myself when I've planted and when I planted them. Signed, Patricia W., Spokane, Washington. Patricia, I like your idea of reusing arrangement holders for new uses. Too much plastic is being dumped in landfills, and any reuse of a plastic object makes me smile. Thanks for the clever idea. Signed, Heloise. Dear Heloise, here's a handy hint for folks with limited mobility. Use a reacher, grabber, or back scratcher when you need to extend your reach. Signed, CW, via email. Heloise is a King Features advice columnist whose work appears Monday through Saturdays. Send a hint to Heloise at heloise@heloise.com.
Rita's Italian Ice and Frozen Custard opens in City. This is the Dish column by Kimberly Dupps Truesdell for the Journal Gazette. Living in Fort Wayne just got sweeter as Rita's Italian Ice and Frozen Custard, 6312 Covington Road, opens today. We are beyond excited to bring Rita's Italian Ice and Frozen Custard to the Fort Wayne community, says Michael Cassini, co-franchisee owner for the newest Rita's location. For us, this venture is more than just a business opportunity. It's a chance to create something truly special that reflects our family values and brings joy to our neighborhood. The Cassinis plan to host an official grand opening celebration in the coming weeks. The new Rita's will be open from noon to 9 p.m. daily. Based in Bensalem, Pennsylvania, Rita's was founded in May 1984 by Philadelphia firefighter Bob Tumalo. He created the family recipe and named it after his wife. There is a rotating menu of more than 75 flavors of Italian ice, which is made on site. Rita's menu also includes frozen custard and signature frozen treats such as gelatis, concretes, milkshakes, and more. Rita's has about 550 shops in more than 30 states. Summer on the Landing. As summer approaches, the Landing has announced a new way to make the most of the season. The Thirsty Thursday summer series will take place from 4 to 8 p.m. every Thursday from June to August, beginning June 6th. As a way to kick off the weekend, restaurants on the Landing will offer food and drink specials. There will also be music from local DJs every week, as well as other entertainment. The launch of the event coincides with a recent start of the city's first designated outdoor refreshment area, allowing guests to take drinks to go and explore the Landing and other areas of downtown. For more information and updates, go to thelandingfw.com.
Take steps to make sure food doesn't go bad in refrigerator. Laura Yoon, Minneapolis Star Tribune. Dateline Minneapolis. Do you feel ashamed when you toss out rotting food? Maybe it's a produce bag of slimy green onions decomposing in the bowels of your fridge, or a forgotten bin of leftovers that would have made a terrific reheated lunch if only you'd noticed it earlier. Xiang Zhao used to feel guilt-ridden too, but she says wasting food is not entirely our fault. "I don't think the fridge is designed with human behavior in mind," Zhao said. "The design hasn't changed in the past 3 or 4 decades. We're taught to keep produce and perishables in drawers in the back of the fridge where it's coldest, but these spots are the hardest to see." Those out-of-sight, out-of-mind design flaws can lead to refrigerator blindness, a common malady that prevents us from seeing the contents of our own fridge. A behavioral scientist at the University of British Columbia, Zhao says humans are more likely to change their ways if the framing focuses on actions we can do. Rather than following the edict, "Don't waste food," consider Zhao's approach, which she explained in a TED Talk. Feng shui your fridge so you can eat everything you've kept in cold storage. Here are some easy ways that we, the captains of our individual kitchens, can steer toward eating the food we have. Prioritize your fridge's best real estate. Fill eye-level spaces with your most time-sensitive perishables, such as produce, leftovers, meat, milk, and yogurt. This is also a good space to place healthy snacks such as carrot sticks and celery, so you're more likely to grab them rather than potato chips when you're hungry. Designate a highly visible eat first area, such as the top left corner of your refrigerator. Items that will last, such as cans of pop or sparkling water, can be placed near the back of the fridge. Beware the crisper drawer. For fruits and vegetables, the crisper drawers will do nothing to keep them fresh if you forget about them. Zhao's trick is to place produce in a refrigerator doors where she's more likely to notice a cucumber about to go soft. Some experts, however, warn that the doors are the warmest part of the fridge, which will cause your beautiful greens to wilt. Zhao doesn't deny that. "You see the wilt, you'll eat them sooner," she says. Whether you store condiments or cauliflower in your fridge doors, the point is to find a system that works for you and your family. Shop the fridge. Don't bolt to the grocery store without checking your fridge and pantry first, says chef and home organizational expert Jure Aaron. Overbuying items will lead not only to food waste guilt, but buyer's remorse. If you frequent Costco or Sam's Club, bring a friend or relative. You can split the bill, as well as those giant containers of blueberries and mushrooms. Carve out time to prep your veggies. Erin and her children chop much of their produce, such as broccoli and bell peppers, on the day she buys her groceries. While this requires more effort on the front end, it may reduce any motivational barriers to cook or eat vegetables later in the week. She stores her food in uniform-sized triangular glass bins. Our refrigerators are rectangular, so you will maximize your space if you use square or rectangular containers, she says. And the other perk about using containers that are just one size, I'm never looking for lids. Eat the fridge. Think creatively about dinner plans by eyeing what in your fridge needs to be eaten now. George's kids know when it's eat the fridge night. These evenings are reserved for improvised meals, which might consist of pear, cauliflower, some leftover spaghetti, and cheese and crackers. Know which fruits and vegetables don't mix. Some kinds of produce emit ethylene gas as they ripen, causing other foods around it to spoil quicker. Keep onions separate from potatoes and apples, for example. In fact, apples might be best left on their own in a bowl set on the counter. As a general rule, Jors says, fruits and veggies don't like each other. They don't get along. Remix meal ingredients. When planning your week's meals, think of ingredients that you can get through multiple dishes. Lettuce can be incorporated into wraps one day, salad the next. Once you buy tortillas for the wraps, you can make quesadillas with them another night. Got ham? That can go into an egg scramble, fried rice, and a salad. If fruits are about to overripen, blend them into smoothies. Limp veggies can be revived in a stir fry. Get everyone on the same page. Once you reorganize your fridge, congratulations, that's the hardest part. Zhao says straightening out the refrigerator will make it easier to see items and stick to your approach. But you must explain and re-explain the system to everyone in your household. The habit is likely to form once we make the initial change, Zhao says, given that nobody else changes it back.
A few more items from the dish column by Kimberly Dupps Truesdell. Specials for Mom. As Mother's Day approaches, restaurants are sharing special opportunities to celebrate the women in your life Sunday. From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Eddie Merlot's will have a seasonal Mother's Day brunch buffet. There will be a variety of breakfast offerings, such as Eggs Benedict, French toast, pastries, yogurt bar, and a chef-made-to-order omelet station. A carving station will feature filet mignon, grilled rack of lamb, and spiral-cut ham. Other features include a gourmet salad station, seafood station, and dessert station. The brunch buffet begins at $74 for adults and $19 for children ages 10 and younger. To make Mother's Day brunch reservations, go to eddiemerlots.com. eddiemerlots.com. O'Charley's Restaurant and Bar is offering a special Mother's Day menu and extending Sunday brunch hours. The brunch menu will be available from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Features include a bacon, egg, and cheese quesadilla, French toast, steak and eggs, and a southern fried chicken biscuit. The Mother's Day lunch and dinner menu includes a California chicken salad, cedar plank salmon, and Louisiana sirloin. Marco's set to grow. Marco's Pizza recently announced a development agreement that includes the opening of 15 locations in Northwest Ohio and Northeast Indiana. The franchise group behind this signed agreement is a multi-unit, multi-brand group of business partners named Groob, Inc. Marco's 2024 development strategy will center on multi-unit growth as leadership prioritizes franchisee relations and operational support, with nearly half of its current franchise network composed of multi-unit operators. Around town. All Obikai restaurants have gotten a jump on happy hour. Hoppy Gnome, Proximo, and Baker Street Steakhouse will offer 15% off all food from 2 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. In addition, there are plans to add drink specials beginning July 1st. The Deck at Don Hall's Gas House is scheduled to open for the season Tuesday, weather permitting. The Dish column features restaurant news and food events and appears Wednesdays. Fax news items to 461-8893. Email kdupps@jg.net, kdupps@jg.net, or call 461-8304 at least 2 weeks before event or desired publication.
Tray Bake layers on the flavor. Italian sausage, potatoes, peppers combine for a tasty one-pan supper. Christopher Kimball, Christopher Kimball's Milk Street. Tray bakes are a great dinner solution when you can't or won't spend time at the stovetop. With this mostly hands-off technique, the ingredients are combined on a single baking sheet, then roasted in the oven. In this recipe from our book, Cook What You Have, which draws on pantry staples to assemble easy weeknight meals, we cook savory Italian sausages on top of potatoes, onion, and bell pepper so the meaty juices flavor the vegetables. First, we toss together the potatoes, onion, and bell pepper with oil, oregano or rosemary, and salt and pepper, then distribute them in an even layer and roast until they begin to soften. The sausages then are pierced and arranged on top of the partially cooked vegetables, and the baking sheet is returned to the oven until the sausages are cooked through and the vegetables are tender and lightly browned. To finish the dish, a mixture of vinegar and honey is poured over the hot vegetables to release the brown bits on the sheet pan, forming a delicious, tangy, sweet, and savory glaze. So slice the sausages diagonally and toss with the vegetables, or serve them whole with the vegetables alongside. Garnish with fresh parsley if desired. And there is a recipe for the sausage, potato, and sweet pepper tray bake. If you would like that recipe, give the station a call at 421-1376. We'll now read editorials for Wednesday, May 8. The opinions expressed are those of the writers and not necessarily the opinions of the Audio Reading Service, the Allen County Public Library, Northeast Indiana Public Radio, PBS Fort Wayne, or your readers Michelle or
Chad. And we'll begin with a Journal Gazette staff editorial for the day. Pro-choice. State that trumpets private school access, wrongly limiting athletes' options. For more than 100 years, the Indiana High School Athletic Association has regulated and administered inter-school athletic competition as an integral part of the state's secondary education infrastructure. One of its long-outdated student eligibility rules could get revised, although its repeal would better fit the state's current school choice philosophy. Indiana instituted the use of public money for families to access schools beyond their local option, including private schools, beginning in 2011. Since then, program eligibility has expanded to include a family of four with a household income of $230,880, qualifying nearly every Hoosier child to attend a participating school. Schools and the IHSAA, however, still may deny participation in sports if a transfer to another school is deemed to be for, quote, primarily athletic reasons, even when there's evidence to the contrary. During six meetings with high school athletic directors around the state last month, IHSAA Commissioner Paul Neidig proposed a one-time transfer after an athlete's freshman year with full eligibility and without a change of address. The rule barring schools from recruiting athletes would remain in effect. You make an initial decision on what school you are going to, and it just isn't working for you, Neidig said at a meeting in Plainfield last month, according to the Indianapolis Star. You may have a kid in a private school and go back to public school, or vice versa. There could be all kinds of different scenarios. Greg Doyle, a sports columnist with the Star, for years has chronicled egregious examples of the IHSAA ruling against sports participation for would-be student transfers. In 2018, Christine and Jay Croft transferred their sons, Lucas and Andrew, from Fort Wayne Northside to Richmond after Jay accepted a job there. Both schools recommended full sports eligibility for the basketball players. The IHSAA said no, ruling the move was for athletic reasons. In another example, football linebacker Colton Scogan transferred to Greenwood after his parents obtained a restraining order against an Indian Creek assistant football coach for alleged inappropriate communications with Colton's then 15-year-old sister. Both Indian Creek and the IHSAA obtusely argued the transfer was for athletic reasons. For years, members of the IHSAA's own case review panel, a 9-person mix of parents, school administrators, and state education department officials, have described the organization's transfer process as unprofessional, insulting, and condescending, Doyle reported. And several judges have overturned eligibility rulings involving students. In one case where the IHSAA review process took more than 3 months to rule on a transfer from Twin Lakes to Delphi, the student missed an entire sports season and his family took the matter to Carroll Circuit Court. The student was seeking a transfer because his goal was to become valedictorian, and Delphi gave extra weight to honors courses and offered more advanced placement classes. Judge Benjamin Diener overturned the IHSAA ruling in February 2020. Quote, the court admonishes the IHSAA inasmuch as its transfer process is flawed, he wrote. The transfer process relies too heavily on participant schools to correctly apply IHSAA's rules. The IHSAA is unwilling to swiftly correct misapplication of its rules, as happened in this case, and it takes entirely too long to exhaust the administrative remedies when contrasted to a child's total time in high school. The IHSAA rightly lauds the mental, emotional, social, and physical benefits of athletics, which include reduced risks of suicide and substance abuse, and increased cognitive performance and creativity. Yet it still limits participation in sports for those students it believes are transferring to other schools for the wrong reasons. The Indiana High School Athletic Association should place the needs of students and their families above any perceived notions of fairness to inter-school competition. Rulings that limit sports participations aren't warranted in a state that helped pioneer school choice, for any reason, and which continues to fund it at increasing levels every legislative session.
Letters to the editor. This first letter was submitted by Scott Vinson of Fort Wayne. Keep flags pristine and support of veterans. Winter is over, and it's time again to inspect your American flags. If your flags are tattered, torn, or so bleached out you can't distinguish the colors, please replace them with new. At a minimum, take the bad flag down until you get a new one. Please respect our veterans and those who have made the ultimate sacrifice. On behalf of our veterans, thank you for your support and attention to this matter. Again, that was Scott Vinson from Fort Wayne. This letter was submitted by Greg Slyford of Fort Wayne. Compromise key if U.S. to remain world power. Imagine being in a relationship where there's no compromising and the partner you must try to reason with comes from a corner of the country that is in lockstep with a double-down, my-way-or-the-highway mentality. That is what gerrymandering and a twisted sense of patriotic self-righteousness have brought to too many state houses and, in turn, Congress. And to this mix, a former president of charismatically holds the allegiance of millions of followers while harboring fault lines across all aspects of personhood, and you have the real makings of a nation in crisis. A nation on the brink of steadfastly heading backward, not forward. Then there is the ever-present fact of inevitable change. For things to remain the same, such as the United States remaining the world's leading superpower and beacon of freedom, things must change. But in our complex world, determining what, when, and how to change requires our representative government to operate at optimal efficiency and effectiveness by, quite simply, working together. To accomplish this, our government, by the people and for the people, must resist being at loggerheads. Its elected officials need to view opposing political party members first and foremost as fellow citizens with whom they must compromise. Embracing this attitude, along with the death of gerrymandering through the creation of independent, nonpartisan commissions, will begin to put our governments on a proper path toward meaningfully handling the change that must and will come. Now imagine being in a relationship where there is compromise and an acceptance that partners must willingly work together for the common good. Each partner gets some of what they would like, but not all. Also imagine that any presidential leader elected readily accepts, as all others have before, being bound by the foundational tenets that have guided this country toward the enviable status and stature we enjoy today. Although in jeopardy, our nation's political relationships that once accepted compromise as a matter of course remain within our grasp if only we reach out to one another in good faith. Imagine there is a compromise. It's easy if you try. Again, that was Greg Slyford of Fort Wayne. The following is submitted by Savannah Swadner of Fort Wayne. Articles shed welcome light on disparities in care. Health disparities based on race are a life-costing decision. Maya Wilkins' April 18 article, Fort Wayne Hospitals Respond to Commonwealth Funds Findings of Racial Health Disparities, included many important points about how the funding works and that many white people in Fort Wayne have more accessibility than African Americans. Organizations that fund the healthcare system and the quality of the care can change their perspectives. The policymakers are often the cause of how many are treated or not treated in the healthcare system. I agree with what was written and how it gave much-needed information on what is going on in Fort Wayne. Different races get different care based on many factors. It is important that hospitals provide education to stop the chain and gain the attention of the government to make more important changes. Primary care needs to be changed, and it can start with articles like this to make small changes to big problems. Begin the change and bring attention to it like this article did. Savannah Swadner, Fort Wayne.
Indiana got the primary election it deserved. By Michael Leppert. French philosopher and statesman Joseph de Maistre is credited with saying it first, "Every country has the government it deserves." In America, we more often credit Thomas Jefferson, who said, "The government you elect is the government you deserve." Regardless of the version or originator, it hurts more than usual this election in Indiana. Do we really deserve this? Sadly, I must concede we do. As much as I have made fun of the Republican campaigns this year being about nothing, there actually is some value hidden in the noise. It's telling us some hard truths about ourselves. One is that the campaigns do not differentiate themselves in any meaningful way on the issue of governing. Amazingly, the marketplace of ideas has produced almost no actual ideas. But in markets, supply and demand respond to one another. We aren't demanding enough. The GOP candidates for governor have spent about $40 million in pursuit of the nomination. Now that's a market. But if one were to divvy up that total based on policy issues to legitimately pursue, I estimate less than 5% was spent to communicate any governing commitment. Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch's Axe the Tax plan is worthy of mention in this context, but only barely. The idea lacks details, primarily in the math department, but at least it's an idea. Collectively, the bulk of the $40 million has been spent on four campaigns: Mike Braun, Brad Chambers, Eric Doden, and Crouch. The ads introducing themselves to voters weren't necessarily offensive, just undifferentiating. However, as the season matured and the insults began to fly, they collectively established one thing for me. I like all of them a little less than I did before. The TV and digital ads were trying to establish a few identifiable things. Of the top four candidates, common messaging would have the public believe they are all hard workers and committed to their faith. There's no reason to question any of that. But the apparent desire to be considered an outsider remains silly to me. Again, Crouch didn't beat that drum either, regularly expressing pride in her public service. I'm looking forward to re-election campaigns in our future, running on the platform of being an outsider. It's almost as absurd as Donald Trump and Robert Kennedy Jr. trying it. Spoiler, neither is. In the 2016 primary, with both presidential nominations still in doubt, about 1.6 million Hoosiers voted. Even if we had that kind of enormous turnout this year, the $40 million spent would equate to about $25 per vote. I'm betting that number is between $50 and $75 this year. It's been a colossal waste of money, at least in terms of value to the people of Indiana. Bluntly, we didn't learn what any of these candidates would be like if they win in the fall. Jefferson and de Maistre wouldn't pity us, though. They'd likely tell us we earned it. Michael Leppert is an author, educator, and a communication consultant in Indianapolis. A version of this column appeared at the Indiana Capital Chronicle.
Opinion: Justice delayed. State of Black America, it's not keeping pace. Aisha R. Arrington. We have yet to understand that if I am starving, you are in danger. James Baldwin. A teacher once told Ricky that he would be dead or in prison by the time he turned 18. It was 10th grade English class, and Ricky was being the class clown, had not done the homework assigned from the night before, and refused to open his book and read the second paragraph that the teacher had instructed him to read aloud. Most of the other students knew that Ricky could not read, but the teacher insisted it was just rebellious behavior. Wearing sagging jeans, Jordans loosely laced, and a gold initial chain around his neck, Ricky looked like a stereotypical teenager from the neighborhood. All the teacher could see was another unruly kid. She repeated her statement, "You will be dead or in prison by the time you are 18. Ricky laughed the teacher off, shrugged his shoulders, and sank down in his seat. He had heard it all before. But no one chooses the family or neighborhood they grow up in, but those two factors have everything to do with life expectancy and economic mobility. Ricky was born and raised in this 46803 zip code, where more than 50% of the community lives at or below poverty level. Data shows that life expectancy in this zip code is also almost 20 years fewer than the national life expectancy rate. During this year's annual Fair Housing Summit provided by the Metro Human Relations Commission and the Office of Housing and Neighborhood Services, Speaker Joshua V. Barr made it clear that if you are a poor, a minority, and living in the poorest zip codes in Fort Wayne, the only real hope is to get out. Barr's research further illustrated how a zip code can predict someone's annual salary, whether they go to college, and how they might fare over a lifetime. The poor typically stay poor generation after generation. And those born into wealth usually will attain the American dream. There are exceptions, but the data is consistent. Recently, the National Urban League released its 2023 State of Black America report. Mark Morial, president and CEO of the National Urban League, stated, "In 20 years, the overall equality index has moved by 2.7%. At this rate, it will take 180 years to achieve parity." One way to combat the disparity is to provide access to educational services. Too many children in the poorest areas of Allen County cannot read and write at grade level. The Fort Wayne Urban League is offering up to 2 hours of one-on-one tutoring per week per child in need. Children reading and writing at grade level are less likely to drop out of school, go to prison, and are more likely to graduate from college. Research proves that adults who can read and write have much better economic outcomes, more job opportunities, and can make better decisions concerning their health. Being able to read and write creates a solid foundation, a foundation for a better life. One afternoon after getting off the school bus, Ricky brought two big sour pickles from the corner store to share with a friend. Sitting side by side, Ricky explained to his friend that he wanted to buy a yellow house for his mom, it was her favorite color, and own a car repair shop that specialized in old school car restoration. The friend nodded in support, but Ricky needed more information. He asked, "You think I'll do it?" For once, there were no jokes, just a seriousness in his eyes. The friend replied, "If you want it bad enough, you'll do it." Content with the response, he took a bite of his pickle, stood up, and began walking home. The 16-year-old Ricky had little hope in his step and time on his hands. Ricky beat the 10th grade English teacher's prediction. He lived just past his 47th birthday. Ricky was shot and killed just blocks away from his childhood home. James Baldwin calls it starving. Data would point to an underserved zip code or generational poverty. Ricky might have accepted that it was prediction he simply could not shake. In the end, hope was buried by despair. 180 years was too long a wait for justice. We will now read primetime TV listings for Wednesday, May 8.
Beginning on WANE, Wayne TV, the CBS affiliate. 8 p.m., Survivor. 9:30, The Amazing Race. WPTA, ABC. 8, Jeopardy Masters. 9, Abbott. 9:30, Connors. 10, The $100,000 Pyramid. WPTA 2, NBC. 8, Chicago Med. 9, Chicago Fire. 10, Chicago PD. WFWA, PBS. 8, Nature. 9, A Brief History of the Future. 10, Nova. WFFT, Fox. 8, The Masked Singer. 9, Animal Control. 9:30, Family Guy. 10, Fox 55, News First at 10.
We're now going to read a few local sports highlights. But if you love sports, tune in Mondays at 1:30 and 10:30 p.m. and Tuesdays at 6 a.m. for Spotlight on Sports with stories from Sports Illustrated magazine. Or tune in every Sunday afternoon at 4:30 p.m. and Monday mornings at 6 a.m. and listen to a full hour of the past week's local, regional, and national sports stories during Sports in Review. And now we'll read a few highlights from several local sports stories for you, starting with Purdue coach gives back to birthplace. Painter big draw at Big Brother's event after Final Four run. Dylan Sin, the Journal-Gazette. A month after leading Purdue to its first national championship game since 1969, Boilermakers coach Matt Painter was greeted Tuesday on a visit to Fort Wayne with a line of hundreds of people in a Grand Wayne Center Convention Center ballroom, each excited to greet the five-time Big Ten Coach of the Year, say an excited word about the Boilers' recent Final Four run, and get a piece of memorabilia signed. Painter patiently smiled and signed for every attendee who came up to him at the Big Brothers Big Sisters of Northeast Indiana's 51st annual gourmet dinner. For us coming off the season that we had, ended up falling a little bit short, but a great run. It was the support that we got from our fans, not just Fort Wayne, but the state of Indiana and all across the country, said Painter, who was born in Fort Wayne before his family moved to Muncie. We have so many fans in this Fort Wayne community, and we enjoy the support that we got. Painter was a guest speaker at the event, joining a list of luminaries who have been featured at the dinner in recent years that includes Indiana coach Mike Woodson, longtime basketball broadcaster Dick Vitale, and former Colts All-Pro linebacker Shaquille Leonard. The event's guest list numbered more than 1,000, with attendees raising money for the local organization that pairs children with guiding mentors. All the great things they do for the community, for me to be able to come in and be a small part of it's pretty cool, said Painter, who has led Purdue for 19 seasons. One thing that we all have is adversity. No one escapes adversity. Normally, it's other people that are here to help you through that, and an organization like Big Brothers Big Sisters, they fill that void.
Art, Archer's Generals Classic Matchup a Watch by Victoria Jacobson of the Journal Gazette. When Southside coach Matt Hill approached the mound with his Archers leading Wayne 4-1 in the top of the sixth inning, starting pitcher Evan Harrell's day was just about over. Not because Hill intended to yank him. Even with two runners on base, Harrell assured his coach that he had enough left to get the final two outs of the inning. It was the weather that had other plans. Harrell threw one pitch to Wayne's Duncan Kearns before fat raindrops started falling on the Tin Caps' home field, and the players were forced to retreat to the dugouts. About 20 minutes later, as puddles started appearing on the infield, officials halted the Southside Wayne game and canceled the second Parkview Sports Medicine Baseball Classic contest between Snyder and Blackhawk Christian, which was scheduled to start at 7 p.m. It's the second time this year that a game between the Archers and Generals has ended early, and the two teams are scheduled to complete their first rain-interrupted game today. Tuesday's game will likely not be continued because, according to SAC rules, a game can be official after five innings are played. We're just trying to get in all the rest of our conference games. Obviously, the weather this spring has been nothing short of historic, said Hill, a first-year coach at Southside. Even if the Archers and Generals only got to play five full innings at Parkview Field, Harrell said they made the most of the outing. It was a really cool experience to be able to play on the field where I come to games and watch all summer, the senior pitcher said. It was cool, too, on the field with all my teammates.
Big Ten releases women's basketball schedule. Dylan Sin, the Journal Gazette. The 18-game Big Ten women's basketball schedule for the newly configured 18-team conference features only one protected home and home matchup per team, the league announced Tuesday. Indiana-Purdue is one of nine protected games the Hoosiers and Boilermakers will play twice during the upcoming season and face the other 16 teams in the league once each, eight at home and eight on the road. IU has won 11 in a row in the series and three of the last four coming by at least 23 points. Indiana and Purdue will also each host likely preseason top five team Southern California. The Trojans feature the nation's leading returning scorer in Juju Watkins, who averaged 27.1 points as a freshman. The Hoosiers also play Illinois, Maryland, Nebraska, Ohio State, Rutgers, Wisconsin, and UCLA at home, and Iowa, Michigan, Michigan State, Minnesota, Northwestern, Oregon, Penn State, and Washington on the road. The Boilermakers take on Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, Nebraska, Northwestern, UCLA, and Wisconsin at Mackey Arena, and Illinois, Iowa, Michigan State, Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, Rutgers, and Washington away from home. Report, Pat Knight to Coach Marion. Pat Knight, son of the late Bob Knight, is set to become the next basketball coach at Marion University, according to a report from On3. Pat Knight spent parts of seven seasons as a Division I head coach, going 79-123 across stints at Texas Tech, where he took over following his father's retirement, and Lamar. He led Lamar to the NCAA tournament in 2012. Marion Athletic Director Steve Downing played for Indiana under Bob Knight and helped lead the Hoosiers to the Final Four in 1973. Downing plans to hire Pat Knight, 53, to replace Scott Hetty, who departed to take the head coaching job at the University of Indianapolis, an NCAA Division II program, after a 168-56 run at Marion since 2017. Knight's hire would set up a Crossroads League matchup for the son of one of Bob Knight's best players, Steve Alford, whose son Corey coaches Huntington. Irishmen enter NIL-driven tourney. Notre Dame's men's basketball team will play a November tournament in Las Vegas connected to an event to be known as the Players' Era Festival, per a report from CBS Sports. The event will include $1 million NIL payouts for the eight participating schools, Alabama-Houston, San Diego State, Oregon, Rutgers, Texas A&M, and a to-be-determined team, in addition to the Irish. Players are also set to receive future earnings opportunities through long-term NIL contracts. This concludes the reading of the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. The morning's reading of the journal will repeat later today at 6 p.m. Today, Wednesday, May 8, there are no birthdays on my birthday list, but if today is your birthday, we wish you a very happy one. Your readers today have been Michelle with
Chad.
We invite you to stay tuned for the next program.